How about after 70s, you also keep your interest in politics?
Oh, yes. I mean, Billy Bragg. Mm. Billy Bragg is very political. Red Wedge.
For example, Roger Waters, now he tried to make a live concert in the border of Mexico.
Oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
You support.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's, I think he would have got a lot of that sort of stuff from contact with me, in fact.
Oh, really?
Back in the day, would have left. He was always, he and his wife, were very, his first wife, were very, they were political. But, I mean, he would have got a lot of that from the stuff that we did. And that sort of link between social action.
Yeah, but at the present time, as you said, there's 6 days more people could be positive, and the politics also people could think that we can change the world like that. But now...
Well, we had to rebuild the world. Because after the war, you know, during the war, just like in Japan, it was flattened. You know, it didn't really start showing up until the 60s. Prosperity started coming back, and young people could get a job, and there's employment, and so they could buy things. And as it were, that the 60s was the beginning of the sort of youth empowerment. That young people had enough money. There was enough money in society for young people to better take their money and do stuff with it. So they would start buying clothes and buying records and going to gigs. So it's really important. I think before then it was the war finished in 45, 46, you see. So then the next 15 years were a real struggle because of the money that we'd had to pay. You know, America, we owed the Americans so much money, like Japan. You know, we had to pay for all the, you know, all the stuff we'd done during the war.
But at the present time, you can say to the younger persons, music and politics is to get together.
Yeah.
But is it possible that the younger person more depressed and they cannot imagine such kind of...
Oh, I think they you know, they, I think there's a sort of... Are you talking about now?
At now, present.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you can always imagine a better future. And you can always fight for a better future. And in a way, the worse it is, the more you want to fight for it being better. At the moment, a lot of that sort of activity, mental position is built around Brexit.
After Brexit,
I mean, you being here, Brexit is that sort of a crucial sort of conflict going on in Britain as to whether, you know, whether we are part of Europe or whether we're, you know, rule Britannia, you know, Britain rules the waves, you know, we are, you know, we're more important than you people over there. There's that sort of attitude. There's a you know, we won the war. It's a very important British thing, you know, that we kept the Germans out and we had to go and save them. There's all those sorts of things. We had an empire. You know, India used to be ours and Africa used to be ours. All that, you know, all around the world was Britain. Then after the war, we helped rebuild Germany politically and with the trade unions and things like that. There's a lot of the northern Germany was influenced by the British occupation, and southern Germany was influenced by the American occupation, and there was a bit of French in the middle. And as it were, that the French in the middle probably helped lead to the EU. And our involvement, a lot of English people involved in rebuilding Germany politically after the war, a lot of the industrial parts of Germany, you know, the Ruhr and Hamburg, the northern Germany, which was where the big industrial belt, there's a lot of influence came in from the UK trade union people and political people.
But if you look at the reality, indeed the UK already decided to move out of the EU.
I think it's very conflicted. A lot of people are very unhappy about moving out of Europe. And that's why it's such a problem. I think it's there's conflict as to whether we should leave Europe or stay in Europe within the European, but there's also a sort of confusion as to where we go from here. I mean, so in other words, wherever you stand, it's very unclear what the future has got to offer. You may well have a view that it should be in Europe, it should be out of Europe, but the reality that we all have is, what's it going to be? So there's an uncertainty, which, in a sense, the British rule always had a certain lot of certainties. We had the Queen, we had the Constitution, we had Parliament, we had the Empire, you know, we had the Navy, you know. There was a lot of things which made us very confident that we were, you know, we ran the world. Or, you know, somehow, you know, America wouldn't be there if it wasn't for us, you know. Australia wouldn't be there if it wasn't for us. Canada wouldn't, you know. There's that sort of perception amongst the British that they're far more important than the rest of the world thinks we are. The British have a very overinflated view of their importance. Maybe it's justified, maybe it isn't. But it's certainly very confused because our economic value is not as big as our social value. In other words, our effect on attitudes worldwide, perhaps, in lots of areas, if you like, you know, politically and socially, we have a lot of, have had a lot of influence since the war. So in the last 50 years, you know, we've had a lot of influence. We joined the EU, which we didn't put together, and we were always, I think the Brits thought that there was a, they should always agree with us. There was a problem, we had a problem getting into Europe. Because De Gaulle didn't want the British in. The EU was originally a German-French deal. And that was the heart of it. And that was really, you know, the key. And then somehow Britain was, Spain and Italy were smaller and not as significant. Clearly France and Germany were the big boys. You know, and then Holland and Belgium were smaller boys, you know. So when we come in, then it gets more confusing because it's the British and the French and the German. And they all speak English. In terms of the EU, a lot of the discussions in the EU certainly used to be all in English. And then with the American influence as well, you know, so that there was an Anglophone influence in the EU, which I think the French and the German, well, the non-Anglophones sort of resented. Because the Americans weren't part of the EU, and the UK were always a bit iffy about it. You know, it was a long period where they let us in, well, do we want to go in? And then there was, you know, we were always bitching and moaning about the EU. So we weren't sort of wholehearted members of the club.
And even now you use the pound.
Yeah, that was a big thing, you know, that they wanted us to join the euro and we wouldn't join the euro.
Yeah.
You know, we won't have the European Court of Justice. We never really let the ECJ in.
Okay. Then, thank you very much. I recorded, so some parts of this recording can I use for the show?